are you? And why have you come to this place? But this man Jesus has been arrested. There is talk in the streets that one of you have betrayed your master. And the rumors go on to accuse one of your group of denying your rabbi. Are these accusations true? But surely this man Peter has the strength of his faith. This rabbi from Nazareth had better choose his words carefully, or he may find himself among the hundreds who have been executed. He will end his days upon one of the crosses that crowd the hills surrounding the city. Did not Jesus speak about the prophecy of the ancients? And he gathered the 12 and said unto them, Behold, you go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and beaten and spat upon. And they shall scourge him and put him to death.
first scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. Listen now for God's word. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?"
Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered, "If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves. Judge him according to your law." Then the Jews replied, "We are not permitted to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he would die. And then Pilate, he entered the headquarters again and he summoned Jesus. He asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own? Or did the others tell you about me?" And Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation, the chief priests, have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?"
Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!" This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had been taken place in the city, and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished.
So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross, It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." And the soldiers had crucified Jesus. They took his clothes, divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic now. The tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." And this was to fulfill what the scripture says, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly. We are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly, this man was innocent." And when all the crowds who had gathered there for the spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid.
join with me in a time of prayer. Christ Jesus, you hung upon a cross and died for us, so that we might live for you. Your body was broken and your blood shed, so that we might be healed and made whole. You were faithful unto death, so that we might be faithful unto life. Your last command was that we might love one another, one family together, from every tribe and nation, a new creation united through your sacrifice, redeemed by your blood, healed by your love, united by your covenant of peace. In your death, may we find life. Amen.
Almighty and magnificent God, I open my heart to you and offer you my prayer. I humbly seek your grace and your forgiveness, for I have failed to hear your voice by my lack of faith in this man Jesus. My husband Joseph is an honest man. His is a loyal and faithful husband and a good and generous father. I know of what I speak, as I was pledged to him as his wife 23 years past. As the wife of a prosperous merchant and a member of the Council of Elders, the citizens of my city all greet me warmly and say kind words to me. But the scribes and the priests are suspicious of my husband, for he has befriended this Rabbi Jesus. This Nazarene has a large number of followers, and he preaches with a strong and powerful voice. But my friends tell me that the chief priests, who are loyal to Caiaphas, are plotting to do away with this man. In the most recent days, as I make my way about the city, going to market, I hear whispers warning that those who are followers of Jesus are in danger. I have spoken to my husband of these matters, but he is unmoved by these warnings. It was but 2 days past that I again pleaded with him to give up his defense of Jesus, for it is clear to me that the council has determined that he is dangerous and that he and his disciples challenge the authority of the elders and the Sanhedrin. I know that my husband is on a personal journey to find the truth of his faith and to make a better way for all of our people. But what good does it do to speak the truth and proclaim a new way of faith and love if those words and those actions lead you into a prison cell or cause you to be nailed to a cross? I know that my husband Joseph truly believes that Jesus has been sent by you, dear God, but I cannot share in that faith. I have tried to open my heart to accept this man as the Messiah whose coming was foretold by prophets, but I have failed. I have heard the stories of Jesus healing the sick and bringing sight to the blind. The stories of his performing great miracles have been told and retold throughout all of Judea and beyond. My husband speaks of these miracles as testament to the truth that Jesus is the true Son of you, O Lord. Joseph is sure that you have sent Jesus to bring peace and salvation to all the peoples of the world. But I have heard other men make the same claims, make the same promises of peace and love. But they all have been found to be charlatans and fakers. I pray to you, O Lord, for forgiveness for my sin of faithlessness. My husband's soul is bright and loving, and he can embrace Jesus as his Messiah. My soul is covered with the shadow of darkness, and I cannot find the faith to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Almighty God, behold the cross that I bear.
Barmene, I have heard your prayer. Hear now the words of the Lord. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of them. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray for those who have never heard the word of salvation, and for those who have lost their faith.
Merciful God, hear my prayer. Here was I, an ordinary fisherman from Galilee, leading an ordinary life. My family has long lived in Bethsaida, but my brother Andrew and I traveled to Capernaum to make our home and our living. We soon shared our fish trade with James and John, sons of Zebedee. I did not seek to be anything but a fisherman like my father and his father before him. Nor did I seek out this man, Jesus of Nazareth. But his calling me to follow him has changed everything. I first met Jesus when Andrew and James and John and I were on our boat fishing. While we had our nets out, a mighty storm came upon us. Jesus called to us from the shore. Then he began to walk out onto the water, coming to our boat. It was a miracle. Jesus commanded me to step out of the boat and to come to him. And while the power of his voice and his actions gave me faith, I soon began to doubt and I fell beneath the waves. Jesus caught my arms and I soon found myself in the boat. It was soon after that I gave up my boat and my nets and joined Jesus on his journey. I promised Jesus that my lack of faith in him that had caused me to almost drown in the sea would never, never happen again. At that, Jesus embraced me and said to me that I was his rock and that now my name would no longer be Simon, as my parents said, but would be Peter. And so it was. Later, during our travels in the northern regions of Judea, we were staying in the home of Ephraim, and during the evening meal, Jesus asked us who we thought he was. Some said that he was a great rabbi. Others said that he was a prophet like Moses. But I said in my strongest voice that you are the Christ, the Son of living God. I pledged to Jesus that I would always be faithful unto him. But now, Jesus has been arrested and taken away by the temple authorities. When he was led away from the garden by the guards and taken before the Sanhedrin, I followed behind, but at a safe distance so as not to be seen. As I stood in the courtyard, many people accused me of being a follower of the prisoner, the rabbi from Nazareth. Each time I denied that I knew Jesus, I am deeply ashamed that my courage did abandon me in the face of danger, just as it did when Jesus commanded me to walk onto the water, but then I sank beneath the waves. I have sinned against Jesus and against you, O Lord, for I had lost my faith in Jesus. It was he who told me that I would deny him, but I gave him my solemn word that I would not. I promised that even if all of our brethren deserted him, that I would suffer death rather than disown my Lord and Master. But look at me. I denied him. I disowned him. And then hurried away like a coward. The night. I was so ashamed that I wept as a child. I will forever live with the stain on my soul and the scar on my heart. I have betrayed my Messiah, and I have deserted your Son, dear Lord. I am without redemption. Almighty God, behold the cross that I bear.
Peter, I have heard your prayer. Now hear the word of God. My Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, then this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear my prayer. My son is dead. He has been crucified at the hands of those who worship the darkness. The darkness dwells within even the best of us. In the worst of us, darkness not only dwells, but it triumphs over the light. My son was a gift from you, O God. Now he has been betrayed by evil men who shun goodness and despise the righteous. Such men live in darkness, and they harvest the shadows. Jesus was a good and righteous man. This man Judas is said to have been a righteous man. The man they call Peter, who has denied my son, is said to be an honest and righteous man. But when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, and does the same abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? None of the righteous deeds that he has done shall be remembered, for the treachery of which he is guilty and the sins he has committed, for those acts he shall be remembered. The ancient writings tell us what will be the fate of my son, your son. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers. He is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and his wounds we are healed. I prayed to you, O God, to spare my son, but my prayers were not answered. I have been obedient to you, O God. I have done everything that has been asked of me. But this is more than I can bear. I say to you, O God, that my anguished soul finally despairs. I have come to the moment in my life when my mind grows weary, my heart is dark, and even my spirit falls away. Some say that after much grief and drowning in tears, it is wise and good to rise up and put all these troubles away to start anew. I say no. For the chains of despair have no key, and the soul destroyed by the beast of hopelessness can never be restored. In this life, there are things done that cannot be undone. Many say that my son Jesus was the Messiah. They say that he was the chosen one. They say that Jesus was the Son of God. If that is true, then we have both suffered a great loss this day. Here I am, but a lowly old woman. But if Jesus was your son, dear God, and if I had sent my son into the world to bring peace and salvation to all the peoples of Israel, and it came to pass that my son, who I loved more than myself, had been beaten and tortured and executed by the hand of man, I would bring forth the same wrath that destroyed Sodom and brought down the walls of Jericho. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. My son is dead. My faith is dead. My soul is dead. I have nothing left in my heart but anger and vengeance. Forgive me, O Lord, for my bitterness and hatred had left me no better than those who have done away with my son. Almighty God, behold the cross that I bear.
Mary, I have heard your prayer. Now hear the word of God. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the Holy Child, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Blessed are you, Mary, who has found favor with God. You rise while it is yet night and provide food for your household and portions for your maidens. You toil in the fields, and with the fruit of your hands you plant a vineyard. You dress yourself with strength and make your arms strong. Your lamp does not go out at night. You put your hands to the distaff, and your hands hold the spindle. You open your hand to the poor, and reach out your hands to the needy. Your strength and dignity are your clothing, and you laugh at the time to come. You open your mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is your tongue. You look well to the ways of your household, and you do not eat the bread of idleness. Your children rise up and call you blessed. Your husband also, he praises you. Many women have done well and good, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Hail, the dark, highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed are you among women.
Father, Lord of all that I am, please hear my prayer. I am here struggling under the weight of this means of my death, this accursed cross. The blood from my brow washes over my eyes so that I can't but see my way forward. My body is racked with pain from the unceasing power of the lash of the Roman tormentor. I have been ridiculed, spat upon, and cursed by all manners of people, Jews and Gentiles, pagans and priests. All spew hatred and contempt for me, for claiming that I am the Messiah, the Son of you, my Lord. Heavenly Father, you know that I have done everything that you have commanded me to do. Through your power and mercy, I have healed and comforted. I have loved those who were here without love, and I have preached your message of hope and charity to all those who would listen and understand. I have only spoken the truth as you have shown me the truth, and I have sought to always glorify and praise you, Lord. I have honored the teachings of the prophets and spoken with reverence those whom you have blessed as true disciples of you, Holy Father. But now as I feel the precious power of life flowing from my body and I struggle mightily to take my next step and take in my next breath, I cry out to you for the final time to let this cup pass from my lips. It is true that you have revealed to me that I am the testament to show that the prophecy was true, that the Son of God would be handed over to be scourged and put to death. I am not afraid to die at the hands of my enemies. But my heart is saddened that I will be departed from the disciples that I love and cherish, and from my mother, whom I love and revere. Teachings are not yet complete, for there are many, many more ears to hear your message and many, many more hearts to be lifted up by your love. I am truly sad that my voice will be silenced forever now that the powers of darkness and evil will prevail. We have passed through the gates of the city, and I can but barely see the hill upon which I will be nailed to this cross. How I had so hoped that this day and this time would not come. But your will must be done,
your prophecy will be fulfilled. My suffering and the pain will soon end, and I pray that I will be with you and abide with you in love and in peace for now and forevermore. But I have not given up this life, and I will struggle and suffer until it is finished. Almighty God, behold the cross that I bear.
My beloved Son Jesus, I have heard your prayer. Hear now the word of God. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, one in the Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you that have given me to be and me with them, and to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me, may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all the people, that he might have and give eternal life to all those that have given to him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus the Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.